it's not always your fault. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, this is Mike Kellogg. Key Life, getting you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness to Christ. Our Bible teacher is Steve Brown. And here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, keep it open because we'll be referring to the Bible as we go along. We're taking a break from our Old Testament survey to spend some time talking about God and pain and suffering. What do you do when your rope breaks? Now, we've looked at some bad news. You've got to look at that. We live in a fallen world, and bad stuff happens to good people. The Bible's never unclear about that. It's always clear. It's not your party. You were created to glorify God. Then we talked about some very good news. Talked about how to tie a knot. Talked about bitterness and what it will do to you. And I want to start today and into next week to talk to you about a major problem people go through when something bad happens. When we all went through 9/11, a lot of people were saying, well, it's our fault. It was us, some very leading Christians, saying God is punishing us because we're an unrighteous nation and because there are gays everywhere and because we have permitted pornography. Well, I don't, you know, I could be, could not be, too. But then all of the people in academia started saying, well, if we had treated Muslims a little bit better than we had before and hadn't supported Israel so much, it's our fault. There's something sick about that. There's something neurotic about that. And Christians do exactly the same thing. A friend of mine often says in a kidding fashion, Steve, of course I'm right. I'm always right. Well, except for one time when I thought I was wrong. Too many Christians just reverse that. They say, Steve, of course I'm wrong. I'm always wrong. Except one time when I thought I was right. Someone who said that every time a swarm of locusts attack a third world country causing a famine, Christians stand up and say, oh my, what did we do wrong? Because we think we're wrong, it's easy for us to believe that when we go through some difficult times in our delight, in our lives, that we're being punished for being wrong. Now, the point of the book of Job is that the explanations Job's friends offered attributing his problems to his sin were dead wrong. Job had done nothing wrong. He had not turned his back on God. He was not, now he wasn't perfect. He wasn't out of the will of God. He had not done anything stupid. He was not being chastened by God. He had not offended God. Job, you see, was the victim of a world where bad stuff happens. And Job knew that the bad stuff happening to him was not the result of his sin. If you have your Bible, look at Job 9, 21 through 24. Job says, I am blameless, yet I don't know myself. I despise my life. It's all one thing. Therefore, I say he destroys the blameless and the wicked. If the scourge slays, suddenly he laughs at the plight of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of its judges. If it is not he, who else could it be? Now, those weren't very pretty words. Job was not altogether that spiritual, and what he said wasn't that spiritual, but and his bitterness was harsh, his words were angry, but when he said, I am blameless, that was the absolute truth of this book. In fact, it's the point of the whole book of Job. Job's friend Zophar, and his friends get criticized a lot, but they were there, at least. They didn't say anything for a while. If they just kept quiet, we could have used them as examples of righteousness, but as soon as they open their mouth, then all that comes apart. At any rate, Job's friend Zophar describes in one of his speeches to Job the doctrine of divine earthly retribution. That is, he believed that people are rewarded for doing good and punished for doing evil. When Job said that he had done nothing wrong, listen to what Zophar replied. Know therefore that God exacts from you less than you. This is Job 11:6. And then I'm going to read verses 13 through 14 and then 16 through 17. Know, therefore, that God exacts from you less than your iniquity deserves. Wrong, wrong, wrong. If you would prepare your heart, Zophar says, stretch out your hands toward him. If iniquity were in your hand, and you put it far away, and would not let wickedness dwell in your tents, you would forget your misery and remember it, as waters have passed away, and your life would be brighter than the noonday. Wrong, wrong, wrong. A lot of us, like Zophar, we believe that when we're good, good things happen. We get raises, and we're never sick, and nobody cuts us off in traffic, and we're always on time for everything, and everything works, and Key Life gets a foundation grant for $1 million and all that kind of stuff. And when we're bad, that's when we have to struggle for funds, and traffic is horrible, and we get cancer, and we have to go through divorce. Is that really true? If your rope is broken, does that mean that you have done something wrong and are being punished? So let me tell you the answer, and then we're going to talk about it. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Now, sometimes it does, and I just want to give you the final answer before I get to it. A little bit later, we're going to talk about that a lot. But let me just give you a couple of things you need to know when you're going through a difficult time. You need to know that broken ropes, difficulty and pain and suffering can sometimes be the result of God's chastening. God does sometimes allow us to experience difficult pain so that we can learn valuable lessons. The writer of Hebrews said, and this is Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Sometimes you go through hard times because God is treating you the way a father treats his child. Have you ever been around spoiled kids? Their parents threaten to discipline them, but they never follow through. They say, Billy, if you do that one more time, I'm going to spank you. And of course, Billy tries just one more time to see if the parent is lying. He figures it's worth a spanking just to see. Then the father or mother says, Billy, did you hear me? If you do that again, you're going to get the spanking of your life. By this time, Billy knows that his parents won't spank him. So he does whatever he wants. Did you hear about the man in the supermarket walking with his little boy? The little boy's pulling stuff off the shelves everywhere he goes, and he's saying, be calm, Billy. Be calm, Billy. Be calm, Billy. And a friend came up to him, or a person saw him, and said, that's not working, saying, be calm, Billy. I mean, he's still pulling the stuff off the shelves. And he said, you don't understand, I'm Billy. At any rate, kids will test to see if you're really telling the truth. Everybody tries to be tolerant. After all, people say, it's not my child. But as time wears on and Billy gets louder and more obnoxious, I want to say, look, if you aren't going to punish that kid, let me do it. I would consider it a high and holy privilege to smack that kid just once. No, don't write me letters. It's not child abuse. It's love. Have you heard about, well, at any rate, God isn't like the parents who say that they're going to punish a kid. God is sovereign. He's loving, and he doesn't give an inch. His discipline is sometimes harsh because he has a plan for us, and the plan won't be thwarted. Do you know what his plan is? Beloved, now we are the children. This is 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How about that? Someday you're going to be just like Jesus. That's a great miracle. The problem for all of us is getting from here to there. Now, if you think that's going to happen to you easy, you're crazy. It's going to take a lot of sandpaper, a lot of chiseling, a lot of chastening, a lot of hammering. God's sandpaper and chisels and hammers are our pain and suffering sometimes. God is bringing you to the end of yourself. Does that mean that whatever you're going through is your fault? No. I'm going to get to that. You just got to stay with me. Secondly, ropes sometimes break because we do something really dumb. Do you remember when Moses was telling Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go and God sent a plague of frogs? I don't mean just a few frogs. I'm talking about frog soup and frog bread and frogs in your bed and squishing everywhere you went. Moses told Pharaoh, if you refuse to let them go, this is Exodus 8:2-3, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs, so the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly. That's exactly what happened. Pharaoh is up to his ears in frogs. He's eating frog bread and frog soup. Now, here's the amazing part of that story. Pharaoh, not surprisingly, told Moses that if Moses would get rid of the frogs, Pharaoh would allow the people of God to leave. And this is Exodus 8, 9 through 10. And Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you and for your servants and for your people to destroy the frogs from you and your houses, that they may remain in the river only. So Pharaoh said, all right, do it tomorrow. Can you believe that? That's dumb. I would have said to Moses, intervene right now. I'm sick of frogs. I can't stand them. Now for 1 minute, do it now. But Pharaoh said, do it tomorrow. Sometimes we just do dumb things. And we get hurt. If you jump off a building and you hit the sidewalk, it isn't because God is angry at you. It's because it was dumb for you to jump off that building. My friend Fred Smith had a businessman who had lost a major business say, Fred, I don't know what God is teaching me. And Fred said, God's teaching you that you're dumb. Don't make those bad business decisions. So sometimes bad things happen because you do dumb things. You think about that. Amen. Well, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Listen, if you don't have our winter Easter Lenten magazine, I'd love to send it to you. I wrote a couple of articles, Our God Reigns, and then another, Crosses and Crowns. There's a question and answer column. There's a lot of information on our Lake Barkley Fellowship this year, and I hope you can come. A lot of resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement, and it's free. If you'd like the winter magazine, give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, 24 hours a day, or you can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, but be sure and include your regular mailing address, and we'll send the magazine to you absolutely free as long as supplies last. And listen, if you, and I know that some of you can't, but if you can help us financially even a little bit, or a lot, it would be even better. If you can help us at all financially, we would appreciate it. And you can charge it to your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. And for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send along the cassette teaching New Year's examination. An appropriate time, 6 important questions you can ask yourself anytime during the year. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.